Father, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, with a servant heart, just to do your will this morning. Father, I just pray that everybody in this room knows me, knows my past, know my character, who I am. I just pray that you can just let them not see me for who I am this morning, but just let me just be filled with the Spirit to convey your word and help me just step aside and not let it be my will what's done, but your will of anything that's said or taught this morning. I just pray that you can unleash the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may just speak to everybody in this room, speak through me, just to convey the things that you need to be heard this morning. There's hurt, there's trouble, there's always something that's going on that we need you, Father. We need you to be real in each one of our lives. We need you to be our rock. We need someone, something to stand upon and lean on, and there's no earthly thing that we can do that with. So we just pray that we can turn all of our stuff over to you, and we just thank you for allowing us the opportunity to just be connected with you. And I just pray this morning for this country, as every day we wake up, we hear something new on the news that is just hard to hear, hard to believe that it's true in this nation. And I just pray that you may expose the evil in this nation, just clean it of the people that are trying to ruin it and trying to do things against your will. I pray that you just hear our cry as we cry out for help, cry out for just remembrance of you, that we know that it's not right in what this country is doing and what so many things in this world are trying to push. We just pray that you can help us to stand firm and be the ones that are trying to proclaim your truth of what you've taught us. I just pray for the people that aren't able to be here this morning that are dealing with different sicknesses and health issues, and the ones that are helping the just serve the people that are sick and unwilling to be able to be here. We just pray for those that you can continue to give them strength and comfort and just give them the tenacity to keep moving forward. And there's multiple people that we all can sit here and name and know that need just that healing touch. We get news, it seems like every day, of somebody that's got a new battle that they need to walk through. And we just pray that whatever issue that they're dealing with, that you may just help them see you through it, help them just ultimately find a relationship with you. If it's something that just is used to grow closer to you, let it be that, or just let it be glory for you, however it looks. And we just want to come before you with praise this morning for our youth camp that was just successful in a way that there was kids there that needed to know you, needed to be loved on by you, needed to be loved on by other people, and just know that there's kids and others out there that think the same way that they do. And we just thank you for just giving that hedge of protection around our camp that you did. And we just pray for all the little ones that were at that camp. There was at times up to 26 kids that got to know your truth and know who you are. And they had an opportunity to ignite that fire in their belly for you. And we just pray that you can just strengthen them in these upcoming weeks, because that stuff's going to be challenged that they learned. Their life will have some hardships, and Satan will try to take away from them the things that they learned. So we just pray that you let them stand upon the truth that they learned this week, and just help them to be little lights in the world that they are surrounded in. And Father, we just thank you again for this time this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So our youth camp was, I guess you would say, a success. There was nobody that left in an ambulance, or nobody that was kicked out. Or we had, at one time, I think there was 26 total kids that were there. We started kind of with 24, but it jumped up and down a few throughout the camp. Thank you for all of the prayers, because weather-wise was pretty cool to watch some of the things we've seen that just jumped right over top of our camp. And I'm not so sure it's not part of the storm that ended up in Dysart, taking out the whole southwest end of Dysart. So thank you for your prayers, because God was faithful and He protected all the kids that were at that building. It was good to see. We had a lot of new faces this year. It was kind of a younger crowd. We had a lot of the 10 to 14 year old range was the majority of the kids that we had, and it was just really without hiccup. It was pretty cool. There was all the kids got along really well. Nobody kind of had the arrogant, standoffish attitudes. There really wasn't any of that. The kids were really open to talking with one another, talking with adults and their team leaders. And as always, I know we've talked about it since being done with camp now, that we feel like it's always more for the adults than it is for the kids. I think it does more for us than it does for the kids at times. And that's cool to see, because it's just one of them things you don't expect. So it was really good. We had a really good turnout, and I think everybody slept well probably the night when they got home. So thank you for all the help. I know, even like in the kitchen, the church puts this youth camp on. So whether you're able to be a part of it physically there, or praying for it, even when we pray for our offering every Sunday, that what do we do with the finances of this church and what are they used for? Just know that it's not just sitting there not being used, because your finances that you put in every Sunday, they went to feed 26 kids for, I don't know, 4 days. I think we had 4 days, and able to use that facility, which is an awesome facility, and that's because of you and the church that we're able to do that for the kids. So we try to, with our youth camps, we try to make it where it is feasible for everybody to come, whether that's just us giving scholarships or us setting the admission fee so low that there's nobody that questions for coming, because I think it was $35 or whatever it was, and you know what food costs. You can't feed, let alone one person for 4 days, once a day, versus 26 kids for 3 meals plus snacks for 4 days straight. So it's pretty cool. So thank you for just getting another year of this camp. We've already got the date set for next year, so Lord willing, we're still around. The facility enjoys us being there enough that they're even going to be closed next year with just some lake improvements and things. And they said that they want us to be there, so they're going to open the facility back up to us next year. So just get your wheels spinning. You got a year to think of things. So what we did, I know last time I was up here, we talked that maybe we were going to go look at the book of Galatians, but I kind of, since then, things are always changing. I guess the Holy Spirit's always working, and my mind kind of went to a different direction, and I'm going to continue on with the essence of God, because that's what we started at youth camp. That's what our last year, where we had basic at the high school with our youth group, we tried to go through each attribute of who God is. And I print off a sheet. I don't know how long I'll be up here doing this for, but I'm just going to go through the 10 main attributes of God. I'm going to try to just pick one per Sunday and kind of just go down the list. So I'll print that list off with a few. I'm going to use, I think it was Doug that mentioned the Webster's 1828 dictionary when he was here the other day. And that's what I use a lot of times for definitions and things. So I'll put the definition of each attribute on that page, and then I'll attach a Bible verse with it, and then you'll be able to at least kind of follow along and know where we're at with the attributes. So, because my question is, why I kind of felt to go this direction is so many kids, when we were talking, they always have an expectation that they have to meet, an expectation to follow, the pressure that they're under to do things. That was something that got brought up by kids that you look at on the outside, and the parents they have, the way they dress, the activities they're in, all the thing is what we would classify as normal. no issues. And those were the first ones to cry out that they're under so much pressure that they can't do anything else. They just, their life is in shambles. Inside, they hide it so much. There's so much pressure that those kids are under. And I look at that as an expectation that I kind of turned it a little bit, and I want to know how to be a better servant to my King. I want to know what God expects of me. And that's the attributes, that's the characteristics of God. If I want to be a better servant to my King, I need to know what my King expects. And the only way to know what He expects is know who He is. So if I want to live my life honoring to Him, which we all do, that's what we come in here to try to learn for. That's what we study our Bible for. We want to try to be able to live a life that's honoring to Him. But how do we know what honors Him? If we don't know who He is, we won't be able to do that. So that was kind of my twist on it after hearing those kids is, you know, they have all those earthly expectations that they feel like they must live up to, but that's not real expectations. Those are expectations of the world. We need to be able to live for the expectations of our King, and how do we do that? So the first one that we're going to start with, we'll just go in order, is sovereignty. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is God's sovereignty. So the definition of sovereignty is supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as a sovereign ruler of the universe. Supreme, superior to all others, the chief. God is the sovereign good of all who love and obey Him. And that's the definition from the 1828 Webster's. That's what's neat about that dictionary. And you don't have to buy it or anything. It is totally 100% online. It's a free website that you can go to, but it's an awesome dictionary because it's biblical and it refers everything back to Scripture. So it takes all the stuff of the Webster's dictionary today that incorporates all the worldly definitions, but this goes back to what the Word of God says the definition is. So that's why it's a neat dictionary if you're studying to be able to use. So sovereignty, the easiest way kind of to think about it is that God is in control. God controls everything. And that is what we talk about bringing us peace and bringing us that rest. That is because God is in control. And a question to ask is, if God is in control, what can man do to me? That's my question. If God is truly in control and I truly believe that He is in control, what issues do I really have? I mean, it's easy to say, but it's hard to, that's hard to act upon. So a verse that I'm going to attach with sovereignty, and you can just do, if you want, I challenge you to take a word, and then just study on it all week. Just look it up. If you're sitting and you have specific study time at home, pick the word sovereignty and do a word study on it in the Bible or a verse study with it, with anything to do with God being sovereign. And I mean, it'll fill your whole week with information. But the one that I'm going to pull out is in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 through 7. So you can turn there if you want to follow along. Isaiah, you just flip your book. But Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 through 7. Jackson, do you know where it's at? We learned the Books of the Bible song, so Jackson should be able to stand up and sing the song at camp. Think you can remember it? No? That's all right. It's in the middle, about in the middle of the Bible. So that was kind of neat to see with the kids, that it's just a goofy little sing-along song. But so we tried to play that before we sat down every time with the kids just to do music or get an intro to the class. And at the end of camp, they were able to sit down without the song and take note cards and align the books of the Bible up in order. So that little catchy tune worked. So Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 through 7. That men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. that is what I found for me the best relation to sovereignty with God. No matter how bad the circumstance is, you can look at this in a worldly view. So you think clear back of world wars, you think of the nuclear bomb, you think of the Holocaust, you think of all that stuff. No matter how bad of a circumstance is, the sun still comes up and the sun still set. In our life, you know, whether we say we just can't make it through this day, I don't know what I'm going to do if this guy gets elected. I had to laugh because somebody, I think it was at camp, might have been mom, said something about Y2K or the year 2000. Somebody said that. And that was something that you kind of forgot about because everybody thought the world was ending because the computers couldn't get past 2000, supposedly, or 1999, supposedly. Everything was going to crash when they hit 2000. You know, so you think of that. You think of this ridiculous virus we've had this past year. Whatever circumstance it may be, the sun still comes up. Every day, the sun still comes up. And you ask yourself, you read some stuff like in the military with old wars and battles. World War I was a terrible, terrible, disgusting place to be. The nerve gases that they used, just the warfare that they used was terrible. And it would often trap many people in trenches for weeks upon weeks with different just gases and rotting flesh. I mean, just gross. It's just terrible. And yet, every single morning in them trenches, did the sun ever fail to come up? The sun always comes up. We have yet to see in this world, as long as history knows, we have yet to see the sun come up on the east, and the sun set in the west. No matter how bad the circumstance we're under, that's still truth. There is no one, no matter how hard they try, that can replace or overrule how God chooses to start and end the day. It doesn't matter who's in control. It doesn't matter who's the ruler of the world or the nation. It doesn't matter who your boss is. It doesn't matter how bad a situation you have from a parent or a sibling or whatever, whoever's in control, they're still not power enough to rule the world. So my question is, why do you suppose the sun repetitively starts up, it starts by rising, but then it goes down? That shows God's faithfulness. God is always faithful. By the sun coming up and the sun going down, repetitively, day after day, it shows the faithfulness of God. It gives us a beginning and an end. We as humans, we need starting and stopping points. We need to have a place to look forward to. We need to, you know, think about it like kids with a trip. Or if we tell our girls we're going somewhere, they're always looking forward to it. It doesn't matter about what's going on. They're just always looking forward to something. We as adults, we're always looking forward to the next thing. Well, if I just get this done, then I'll be here. And I get this checked off my list, then I'm here. We as humans always look forward. So I look at the sun rising and the sun setting as God having a picture that he's always faithful because he always gives us something to look forward to. We live our life with a dependence on hope. And I think pretty sure it's in the bathroom, if you've ever been to the bathroom on that wall, but it's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11 that hangs in the bathroom. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1, I said 1, 11. It's Hebrews 11, 1, sorry. But faith gives us the reality, because faith is something that's hard to wrap our minds around. But faith gives us the reality and the proof of the things that are unseen. Treating them if they're objects of sight rather than hope. Living by faith will make our life easier, Why? Because faith equals the reality of God's power. Is faith. So I'll read that again. Faith gives reality and proof of things unseen, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than hope. Living by faith will make our life easier because faith is the reality of God's power. Does the world stop for your problems? I found that when we were going to Cedar Rapids every day doing our cancer treatments, that it didn't matter what we were going through. It didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter how Hallie felt. When we drove down Cedar Rapids and all that busy traffic going down 380 and all the stoplights and the people that you would sit there and you would look at and you would think, their life is just an ordinary day. They're going to work. They're doing their normal thing. Their life doesn't stop just because of our problems. The world doesn't stop. And it just keeps going no matter what we're dealing with. And that's what's hard. Because when we have problems and we have troubles, you can start to feel like you're alone. No matter the family support that you have, no matter what you're surrounded with, when you look at the big picture and say, well, obviously that guy doesn't care about me because I don't even know him, but he's going to work. Well, so what? He's doing his thing. He doesn't know about you, correct? But you can start to get that attitude where you feel sorry for yourself. You can start to get that feeling of, I'm all alone. I don't have anybody. But that goes back to the faith that we have. Do you have the faith? We can't see God. Nobody's actually seen God. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God are one. The Trinity are one. Jesus Christ is the physical picture of God's characteristics. That's the easiest way to put it in your head. You could say, well, I've never seen God. Nobody has. But yes, you have, because Jesus Christ, we haven't seen Jesus Christ, but people have seen Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in this book. That's the physical attributes. That's the physical person of God. And the other thing is, if you believe that, that Jesus Christ is the same as God, then do you believe that the Holy Spirit is also one of them? Is God as well, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit? Because guess what? As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have all these same characteristics and all of these attributes living in you. Your house, your body is a temple of God. So if He's going to say all this and we say, oh, but I'm alone and I feel sorry for myself and I have these problems, you're denying the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within you. And that is the same power, that is the same God that we read about, that we study about, that we try to figure out. We look at that as that's an unreachable object, that God's just an unreachable thing up there that we just are always trying to do good for, and that if He shines down on us on that day, we might have a chance on making it through the day. And that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to utilize the Holy Spirit that's within us, because that's all the same. All this stuff that we're going to learn about who He is and what He does and what He expects, it's obtainable because it's within us. The same God that we read after and study and can't believe that He does the miracles that He does. Each one of us have that God right here with us. So, I'm going to use the sun for kind of a, in my head, kind of a step-by-step kind of a time chart for times of trouble. What do we do? What can we look at? Like, so I'm going to look at the sun rising. We're going to look like at high noon, and then we're going to look at the sunset. Because those are three, we could call them three truths throughout our day that we all can recognize. No matter if we're in our house looking out a window, no matter if we're car driving somewhere, no matter if we're at work looking out a window, whatever we're doing, we all can relate to a sunrise, noon, and a sunset. So the sunrise, the first thing I think about is the sun came up, God did not abandon me through the night. He evidently thinks that I have enough in me to fight another day. That's the first thing to think of when you're going through a problem. So if we're going to look at this in times of trouble or different circumstances in our life, look at the son that God did not abandon you. When that come up that morning, he believed in you enough that you could fight another day. What do you fill yourself with in the morning? If God believes that you could fight another day and gave you another opportunity to fight in that battle, do you just need to get up and eat your Cheerios for breakfast in the morning and get out the door and keep going? How long will that sustain you through the day? Or do you need to get up and read His Word and intake some of His Word in the morning to be able to sustain it through the day? And even if you say, I don't know, I can't pick up my Bible and I can't read. If I try to do the daily Bible and pretty soon I'm in Chronicles and I'm reading about all the lineages and all these tribes and nations and all these names, I can't. What good does that do me through the day? If you're struggling that hard, open the book of Psalms and let God speak to you. Because you will find comfort. A verse, something will be comfort to you. Something will give you a tangible thought. See the Holy Spirit that's within us? It will bring things to your attention. That is when, it goes clear back to what we talked about in 1 John. If you're abiding in Him, if you're allowing Jesus Christ to work in your life, and you're walking by what the will that He wants you to, and you're allowing Him to walk with you, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you everything that you need to know. Everything you need to speak, everything that needs to be recollected in your mind will come through the Holy Spirit. That's its job, the helper. That's why Jesus, when He said, I'm sending a helper, Jesus was leaving because Jesus was telling all the people that He was with, He was giving them the answers all the time. Whenever He was walking somewhere, whenever they were talking about something, they were eating dinner, doing whatever, Jesus was giving them information. So these guys were used to getting all the information from Jesus and all the answers all the time. But He says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you a helper because you can't make it on your own. We have that helper. That's what we need to. The hardest thing, I think, in the Christian walk is acknowledging that we can't do it by ourselves. We try to do things ourselves so much that we look at Jesus, yes, as the Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins, and we know that God the Father is, but I feel like we always push the Holy Spirit, and when I say we, I mean me. I prayed before I started this yesterday for God to convict me with something and for God to teach me something, and this is what came out. The Holy Spirit gets set aside so often, and we just forget about it. We don't think that it's real, because we don't believe that we're truly capable of doing the things that God says that we are. Because in man's mind, in our tiny little minds, it doesn't. We can't comprehend that. We can't make sense that why would an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-controlling God live in me? But that's the truth. He does. And if we can grasp that, if we can totally take that, and live off of that, have the faith of the things that we cannot see that make them a reality, if we can make the Holy Spirit a reality in our life, this world better look out because it's going to change. And it's going to change from you being able to have that Holy Spirit working throughout you. The song, 10,000 Reasons, is one of my favorite songs. I love to hear my girls sing it. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. That has to be our attitude. When we got the worst news of our life, or we have something that we don't think we can handle, and we wake up in the morning, that pain is still there, and the reality of it clicks that it wasn't a bad dream, it's true. We have two choices that we can make. We can have this attitude of whatever may pass and whatever lies before me to let me be singing when the evening comes. Or do we have the attitude of disbelief, yes, shame, and and sorrow, feeling sorry for myself, and pity, and I call it an Eeyore attitude, to poor me, where we just then lock ourselves in our house and don't come out because we can't face the reality of everybody else living their life the same way, why ours is a wreck. God doesn't want you. He won't use you as an Eeyore. Because you're not allowing, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to shine. We don't allow ourselves to be a light in the darkness. So high noon, you look at it that you've made it halfway. God provided me with the resources to make it to another checkpoint. Am I going to have an attitude of seeking out the resources to make it through the rest of my day? Am I going to thank Him for getting me through half my day? I look at it as, if I make it halfway, half my day's over already. Half the trouble's already behind me. It's hard to do things. Starting hard things, when you have a situation that's in front of you that you know is hard, the easiest way to think about it is knowing that there's an end. And that's actually the good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our life. Our life, that should be our life picture as a whole, that we know we can get through this life no matter how hard it's going to be, because at the end of the day, we know eternity is going to be, not the end of the day necessarily, but the end of our life, we know that eternity is going to be far better than everything that we fought through this earth with. And it's going to be a much longer time period. Eternity is forever. So I can look at the hard thing that's ahead of me and know this is just a season in my life that I'm working through. I can make it to the end. Look at a hard thing as there will be an end to it. Will that end necessarily be something that you think it is? Not necessarily. The end of the hard thing, you may have to struggle with something your entire life. But at the end of the day, when you die and we have our resurrection bodies, it's over. It's still an end. There's still an end to everything. Accomplishing hard things are done by an attitude of the things that you've already accomplished. How do you look at the things that you've already accomplished? If I'm looking at high noon, am I dreading the things that are to come? Or am I rejoicing in the things that I've already accomplished? If we're going to do hard things and we're going to make it through hard things, we can't focus on what lies ahead. Focus on the task now and look at the success that you've had the half a day earlier. This is a retarded analogy. I mean, stupid analogy. Weed eat in a ditch. I mean, it is. When you weed eat a ditch, we had at mom and dad's house, there's a circle driveway. There's actually this. So there's one smaller ditch, a big long ditch, and then another smaller ditch. The lawnmower wouldn't mow up the ditches. So we had to weed eat all of the ditch. If I'm weed eating the ditch, do I stand here and look at all the grass that I've got to weed eat up ahead of me yet? Stand here and look, oh, this sucks. Look at how much I got to go. Look how far. This is never going to get over. This is never going to end. I'm never going to make it to there. I got to quit. I can't make it without taking a break or doing. Or do you focus on what you've already done? Well, yeah, that looks pretty good over there. I've already got that done. I'm excited the way the rest of this is going to look. That ain't that bad to do. Look how good it looks. You see it. I know that's a dumb analogy, but that has to be our fight. Look at the things that we've accomplished, because what we've accomplished is just like the sun coming up. It shows God's faithfulness. God got me through that part. I got through that 200 feet, and I am not dead. God can get me through this stuff. Verses. Why reading your Bible is important. verses that we need while we're in the thick of the day. So when we're at noon and we need that encouragement, we need that fuel to refire us, to get us through the rest of the day. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. You can turn back, you're there. You're in 45, you can go to 41 if you want to. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's the Creator saying, I will do this. We're going to learn veracity or truth and that God is unchanging. See, all these attributes, they play off of each other and they build off of each other. One can't be true without the other one. So knowing who God is, knowing that God is truth, and knowing that God cannot change, when He tells me that He will strengthen me, and He will help me, and He will uphold me, I have no choice but to believe that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You are not alone. When you're sitting there and you're watching everybody else's life go by like normal, and yours is a haze that you can't believe is true, and you feel like you're alone because everything else is carrying on like normal, you're not alone. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do we believe that? If we believe that, what can man do to you? What can any circumstance do to you? And this is why I prayed for God to convict me, because this is what I need. When I pray, and I said that everybody knows my struggles, my past, the issues I have, that's real. I am not worthy to stand up here and to say these things. But through the power of the resurrection, through the Holy Spirit, I can step back and God can